God's attributes were manifested to his
prophet. When shall these things be? The first question. Second question, because he says he's coming back. So, what is the sign of your coming? What would be the sign of the end of the world? And he began to answer them. Now, therefore, in the answer to the three questions, you have to know which part of this chapter in his answer refers to the destruction of Jerusalem, and which one refers to the sign of his coming and the sign of the end of the world. Now, and your ability to place this will remove the confusion. Now, it is their inability to place this properly that is making them think that we shall be in the tribulation. Therefore, it is important you listen to this teaching. Bride of Jesus Christ, listen to me now. He said that only those who will not take the mark of the beast will be saved. And the only those who will not take the mark of the beast, according to Revelation chapter 13, they are because you must take a mark. You must have the mark of Christ. If you don't have the mark of Christ, automatically you have the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is a mark of deceit. Listen very well. There is a spiritual mark and a physical mark. If you already take the mark of Christ, the mark of Christ is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What that scripture is saying, only those who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that will not take that mark. But you will not resist that mark by saying physically, say, I will not take it. I'll take it. And then because you will not take it, therefore you will not buy and sell. Therefore, you are ready to die. And then you die. That is not it. Everyone that does not receive the Holy Ghost will take it. And all those who receive the Holy Ghost, they will go in the rapture. And say they will go in the rapture, they will not take the mark of the beast. But our eyes of understanding, he has opened up our eyes. And through victory is ours, who we are chained down in the past. Through jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God. Eyes of understanding he has opened up. I may be rude in my speech, but not in knowledge. Are we ready now? Matthew chapter 24. This is where the confusion is. I've been saying and talking. I've not started though. I just want to start the Bible study now. I was just saying all that to let you take what I want to say seriously. I've not started though. Can we start now?
Yes, sir.
We are just about to. In fact, we are about to start.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let somebody who knows how to read very well read Matthew chapter 24. Read it from verse 1 up to verse 31.
Matthew chapter 24, from verse 1 to 31. Say, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He said, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them.
Verse 4 is the answer to the questions in verse 3. It says, the disciples came to him privately, saying, what? Tell us, when shall these things be? Which things? The first question, these things, is the one in chapter 23 from verse 37.
Chapter 23 from verse 37.
Yes.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Verse 38, he said, behold, your house is left unto you
desolate.
Desolate. How? We're coming back to Luke chapter 21 from verse 20.
He said, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies.
When you will see Jerusalem compassed with armies.
Then know that the desolation thereof is nigh.
What did he say in chapter 23 and verse 38? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Go back, continue your reading now. Verse 20 again.
Verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies.
When you see Jerusalem compassed with armies.
Then know that the desolation thereof is
the
nigh.
The desolation, that is where everything will be destroyed, disturbed, wiped away. That is when. He said that destruction is near. Go on.
Verse 21. He said, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter there into. For this be the days of vengeance.
Vengeance on who? Okay, go ahead.
That all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon these people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
Go back to chapter 24 now.
Chapter 24.
And verse 3.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things
be? Can you see now which things? The destruction of Jerusalem. The desolation of Jerusalem. When shall these things be? The first question. Second question.
And what shall be the sign of thy coming?
Because he says he's coming back. So, what is the sign of your coming?
And of the end of the world.
And what will be the sign of the end of the world? And he began to answer them from verse 4. So from verse 4 up till verse 31 is the answer to these three questions. Now, therefore, in the answer to the three questions, you have to know which part of this chapter in his answer refers to the destruction of Jerusalem, and which one refers to the sign of his coming and the sign of the end of the world. Now, and your ability to place this will remove the confusion. Now, it is their inability to place this properly that is making them think that we shall be in the tribulation. Therefore, it is important you listen to this teaching. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
From verse 4 up till verse 31 is the answer to those three questions put together. So let's look at it now. Verse 4.
Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Yes.
For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows.
Again.
All these things are the beginning of sorrows.
What things? Nations rising against nations.
Yes.
Kingdoms against kingdom. Famines and pestilences, including coronavirus.
That's right.
Including. People are screaming coronavirus, coronavirus, and they are shaking. Unknown to them, there has been worse pestilences on earth than
that's
the
right.
coronavirus.
That's right.
In 1980, between 2 years,
that's right.
when the Spanish flu, as they call it that time,
yeah.
is that in within 2 years, over 50 million people died.
That's right. That's right.
And when they were dying, believers were saying, hey, the end of the world has come. Hey, Jesus Christ said, hey, from 1918 till now. Okay, now. How many years now? Okay, now. So you can see now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will shake only because you have no revelation. You didn't study this answer that Jesus Christ gave here.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, all this, oh, sorrow is coming, oh. Sorrow is coming, but this one is only the beginning of sorrow. And this sorrow that is referring unto is not talking about the sorrow of the great tribulation that the Antichrist shall bring. That's not the sorrow. It is the sorrow that will come upon this earth when Christ will be coming to take over this earth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, all these be the days of vengeance. The destruction of Jerusalem is the day of vengeance. But before we go there, let's read it from verse 9. Continue from verse 9.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's
sake. Do you know
who
he was referring to? He was referring at this point here. He was talking to his disciples.
That's right.
And how do we know? William Branham was the one that made this statement, and he made it a sermon. He says, prophecies are made clear by events. Amen. Yes, prophecies are made clear by events. And so history makes us understand this, that he was talking to his disciples, and not just those disciples, but all else that will follow after his death. After his resurrection. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, read that verse 9 again. I want to stress something there.
Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up
then
to be
future,
afflicted.
Then in future.
And shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
So, the proponents of the teachings that the church will go through tribulation, verse 9 is also one of it. What they used to teach, but it's wrong. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. They are not placing this to mean the tribulation. No, 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 no. These are the ones that you will see in Revelation chapter 7. In the book of Revelation chapter 7, there is a group of people there that are seen before the throne. From verse 9. Is it coincidence that it's Matthew chapter 24 verse 9 and there is Revelation chapter 7 verse 9?
Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which man of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes.
Go to verse 13.
Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?
From where? Where did they come from? How did they get there? Who are they? Verse 14.
And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation.
They came out of what?
Great tribulation.
Great tribulation.
And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
How many were there? Verse 9.
Verse 9. Great multitude
and people and tongues. This great number that you couldn't even count them is a group of believers that stood for Christ during this period of persecutions that eventually landed us into the dark ages with the third seal, third horse rider. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
These are people, if you read the story of how the disciples, they were killing them. One time, the Roman church killed 68 million. And they are dying all because, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why? They were dying for his name's sake. Because they are followers of Christ, nothing more. Because of that, we see, and up till now, they are still dying. Boko Haram are killing people just because they are Christians. And there are many of them that stand there, risk their lives and tell them, I will not convert to your religion. I will not deny this Jesus. And they kill them. Through great tribulation, this great tribulation here, through tribulation, the tribulation that these people go through is not the great tribulation that will be meted out by the Antichrist, which I say shall only take place after the rapture. Don't confuse it. So, what he spoke in Matthew 24, let's go back there, is fulfilled in that chapter 7 that we see in Revelation chapter 7 and from verse 9 there. So, let's read on. Verse 10.
Matthew 24, verse 10.
Yes.
He said, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another.
Okay, now.
And many false prophets shall rise,
okay,
and shall deceive many.
Uh-huh.
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
That's right.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Uh-huh.
And this gospel...
Verse 13 again.
But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
And this... And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come.
Read that verse 14 again.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come.
You hear? The gospel will be preached to all nations. Is the gospel not preached to all nations now?
That's right.
Eh? That's right. The sign. What did he call? The sign of the end of the world has been answered.
That's right.
That part, that first question, the sign of the end of the world, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they said, when shall these things be? Correct?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
The first question, when shall these things be? The destruction of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When shall these things be? When shall these things be? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which things? The destruction of Jerusalem. The desolation of Jerusalem. Then, you now start to answer that one from verse 15. The answer to that one is from verse 15. When will it take place?
Right.
When? Go on.
Matthew 24 from verse 15. He said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand.
So there is a reference point there. Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Revelations have keys. They have keys. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are keys in the Bible that make us to know when Christ was born. And we know it's not 25th December. It's in the Bible.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now see the key here for the answer. See the key to the answer. He says, when shall these things be? When shall these things be? Praise the Lord. Verse 15, he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Then he added there, whoso readeth, let him understand. I get very excited when I catch such things. Very, very excited. Very, very excited. Everything is in this Bible. The desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet. When did Daniel speak of a desolation? You understand it in Daniel chapter 9.
That's right.
So let's go to Daniel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Amen.
Amen.
An agenda was given to Daniel. Amen. And he made a statement in verse 26. Maybe for those who may be hearing for the first time, you know, let's just start reading it from verse 24.
Please. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Yes. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined.
Now, in verse 15 of Matthew 24, while you put your finger in Daniel chapter 9 there, to get the picture. When ye therefore, verse 15, Matthew 24, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand. When you see it stand in the holy place, Daniel prophesied that in verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9, after the Messiah is cut off, he said, the people and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Events, prophecies are made clear by events. In the year AD 70, and those of you who are good historians, you can go check the day, the time, and everything is in history. General Titus came from Rome because they were under the Roman Empire rulership, the fourth power in the image of Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel interpreted, the fourth world power. They actually didn't come to destroy Jerusalem. That was all the purpose for their coming. We know the history says what they came for was to, they heard that there was a rebellion that was taking place. Riot, what do you call it? Protests were going on there because politics, they had politicized the office of the high priest. So they elected a high priest that was rejected for another group like that, and then they were fighting, and the headquarters from Rome sent soldiers to quell them. The first thing they did was they came and went circle the city, warning the people to maintain peace. They stood there for some days, expecting those people, warning them to, you know, praise God.
Hallelujah.
But let me tell you why they didn't come immediately and stroke. Amen. Amen. We will read it today, verse 24. Amen. I mean, chapter 24. But they stood there, they didn't strike immediately. They surrounded the city. But later on, instead of them now to just obey and stop whatever they were doing, they now started attacking those soldiers. They started fighting them. The rebellion spilled over to the soldiers that were outside. And the Roman soldier under that General Titus came down and descended hard on them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Descended hard on them. Brought down everything. That was when the temple that took 46 years to be built was brought down. Every stone to fulfill, I said, there will be no stone left unturned, was brought down. And the whole city wasted. Everything you can see was brought down. He said, when you see the desolation, the abomination that maketh desolate, stand in the holy place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That was when they come to stand there. When they came, the soldiers came there. He said, when you see that happen, what do you do? Let's read it. Now verse 16.
He said, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains.
Amen.
Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house.
Yes.
Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes.
Uh-huh.
And woe unto them that are with child.
Uh-huh.
And to them that give suck in those days.
Uh-huh.
But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day.
Now, who was he talking to? He was talking to his disciples. We're giving them a prophecy to answer, when shall these things be? When will these things be? When? When will the destruction of Jerusalem? Hear it, you, my disciples. When you will see the abomination that was spoken of by Daniel. Daniel had prophesied that the people of the prince that shall come. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There is a prince that is coming. Someone, you hear me? There is a priest that is coming. That priest that is coming is the Antichrist.
That's right.
He said, the people of the priest that shall come. Future. The people of the priest that shall come. He's coming in future. But his people, before he will come, his people will come and waste and destroy all this city here. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And event, prophecies are made clear by events. In AD 70, it was fulfilled. The people that came, where did they come from?
Rome.
They came from Rome. Therefore, the priest that shall come, where is he coming from?
Rome.
Therefore, where is the Antichrist coming from?
Rome.
Okay, now. Okay. If you don't know this, you argue this forever. In fact, you are Antichrist yourself. It's clear. Brethren, it's clear in the Bible. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he's telling them, when you see Jerusalem and camp like that, then he started by saying, if you are in Judea, flee into the mountains. The reason he says so is because at that time, some of his disciples will be in one place or the other. Because as soon as the Pentecost came, revival came everywhere, persecution started, they were running helter-skelter. Then he said, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. That is, don't bother to say you are coming, there is something you want to take out. Just take off wherever you are. Just take off. He said, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. If you were in the farm and you heard that those soldiers have come, he said, jump from there, they find your way wherever you are going. Well, start your life somewhere else. And then he now said, and woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Because history told us, by the time they encamp round about, no going in, no coming out, all their food finished, everything finished. It's not a healthy woman that will give a child and they even reached a stage where they had to be killing their children to eat, to be able to survive. It went to that level. So that you will understand why they put it and call it such a horrible period in the life of Israel. Verse 20. He said, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Why? Because if you're in the field, you run to during winter, where will you hide? When there's no fire, cold will be too much. It will finish you. Then he said again, neither on the Sabbath day. Pray that it's not on the Sabbath, because on the Sabbath day, the gate is closed. Nobody will go out. Pray that it doesn't happen that day, so that nobody will escape with that. Because once they came in, no going in, no coming out. Then he added, this is where they get confused. In verse 21, he said, for then shall be great tribulation. such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. To the Jews, at that time, if you know what they went through, for a human being to descend until they begin to eat their children to survive, you will now know the type of difficulty they went through. That is why they say that, for there shall be great tribulation. Now, this tribulation is not yet the tribulation of the priest that shall come, which people are confusing it with. And this is essentially just for the Jews. And Jesus Christ said, it is the days of vengeance. Why did he call it the days of vengeance? Because they rejected him. They maltreated him. Even when Herod said, I find not this man not guilty, I wash my hands from the guilt. He said, yes, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And now it was upon them at that period and upon their children during Hitler. During Hitler, the Second World War. Come, be careful how you curse yourself when you know you are guilty of something. For them, verse 21, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. It will not let it reach that level. And he added, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened, because God will not allow Israel all to be wiped off. So he had to stop it. He don't do, so that he don't finish the whole of Israel. Now they confuse this elect to be the bride. That therefore the bride will be in the tribulation. Praise the Lord. Therefore, because of us, the days will be shortened. No. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I hope we are getting it clearer now.
Yes.
Amen. Now, you notice from verse 23. Now, before you go to verse 23, you have to connect verse 5 to verse 23. What does verse 5, as he was answering, what did he say?
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
And shall deceive many. Then verse 23, now he continued with that.
Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, say, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Hallelujah.
Now, so you notice now, see where the emphasis is. There shall be false Christ. And let me quickly drop this. False prophets, false Christ. And then he added there. He said, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Why? For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And remember that he is talking about the sign of his coming. That is the answer. See the sign. It is the sign of his coming. Then he quickly adds there, there shall be false Christ. They will say, here is he here. Here is he there. Now, this false Christ, these false anointed ones, is not talking of this one that fool Africa everywhere. That's not what he's talking about, though. In the context of what we are reading now, he's talking about the sign of his coming. People will deceive you. And there is no new. Okay, go to Acts chapter 5. Listen, when they were persecuting You know, the Jews were expecting the coming of their Messiah. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
sir. The Jews were expecting the coming of their Messiah.
Amen.
Because it was prophesied. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So, Christ now has come. And then they are preaching everywhere, Messiah has come, Messiah has come. And the religious people, we are busy persecuting them. This is the reason. Listen, the council sent for the apostles. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And in verse 32, Acts chapter 5, this was the conclusion of their defense before the council. He said, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. When they had this, the council, Sanhedrin council, the higher religious council, when they had that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to kill them, to slay them, slay the apostles. Then stood there up one in the council, a see, named Gamaliel, a doctor of
the law,
reverend doctor.
That's right.
Hard, well respected in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before, this is where I am going now. For before these days arose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Who is that? Theudas. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And then he added, this is his advice, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. So we have Theudas, and then we have Judas. So that you will understand why 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, that is the end time. Okay now. He said, and as you have heard, who did ye hear it from? It's from the Lord Jesus himself. That Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby you know that it is the last time. Signs, what is the sign of thy coming? Are we together? Go to Matthew chapter 24. When he says that, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and there, he said, believe it not. That is, people are going to rise and make claims. Follow me. I am Christ that have come. I am Christ that have come. Except you follow me, you cannot go in the rapture. And people will follow them. We have one in Benin, Elder David. He's one of the elders, the 24 elders. And people are following him. My brother called me yesterday from Port Harcourt that he was also a follower of another one. They call Uzemena. Uzemena is from Mbise. And he has followers following him, making such claims. And Christ is saying, it is the sign of my coming. And we are seeing many others that have come up. The Guyana massacre. Something Jones, somebody Jones. You saw how people followed him. And he even gave a date. He gave a date of the rapture. And when that date failed, they have to take sniper. And all those thousands of people died, his followers, committed suicide. Kill everyone. This is what Christ saw, and he was giving this prophecy. It's not this what Chukwe Chukwe wants to see in Nigeria, and those are hungry people looking for food to eat. They're selling handkerchief and selling oil and selling anointed water and then selling apple to get picky. That is a hungry people. The one in the all of them, it's a hungry. It's a hungry. It's a food they're looking for. Praise the Lord.
So it has nothing to do with the coming of the Lord. The people going,
the people looking for heaven. The people that they will deceive are people who will be looking for heaven. They'll be following them because the people, the person is talking about going to the rapture. Did you see them talk about rapture in Wari? I mean in Kotu. You see them talk about the rapture at Shongota. You see them talk about the rapture in Abuja. You see them talk about the rapture in any of those people in South Africa who claim to be prophets. These are hungry people. I'm talking about what Christ prophesied. It's not that type. These are small, small, small demons that give prophecy, wrong prophecy, and then they're busy deceiving people and then collecting people's money. Deceive and being deceived, as the Bible says. Listen, church, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bride of Christ, don't be deceived. In interpreting what Jesus Christ said, he's talking about people that will command followership. I had a man in Nigeria here that said, I had him, not that they say I was listening to him. I am John. It's referring to the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 10 and verse 11. I am John. It because you shall prophesy to many nations, to many to people, to this. And then in one backyard somewhere in Shomolu in Lagos, he said, I am John. Except you believe I am John, you will never go in the rapture. Except you believe I am John, you will never go in the rapture. That is the spirit Christ was talking about. Because the people going there are not looking for food to eat. They are looking for heaven. They want to go to heaven. And Christ decided to give us the key, the sign of thy coming. Let's read it now. See, now let me read it again from verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ. That is what John was saying. Apostle John was saying in 1 John chapter 2 there. And false prophets, teachers, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. See the warning. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. This is how the coming of the Lord shall be. He says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he added, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Praise the Lord. So how will he come? How will Christ come? How will the sign of the coming of the Lord? He said, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How? The light shines, the sunlight starts from the east. And where does it travel to? Where does it end? In the west. And then the next morning, it appears where again? In the east. And if you look at the history of the movement of the gospel around the whole world, the light of the gospel, because he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world. It will move from east to the west. Everybody will see it. Then the end will come. And we know that this gospel started from Israel, in Jerusalem, from the day of Pentecost, in the east. And that gospel that shine, keep shining until dispensationalists have picked it up. God has allowed us by the spirit of understanding to understand the move, the various way God was moving. And one interesting thing about God is that he did not reveal this thing. He left it. He just keeps moving. And it is events that make prophecy clear. Now we understand this verse. Verse 27 makes us understand. Amen. The light that he was talking of there, we now see as we look back. We saw how the gospel moved from the East. It passed through Europe. It passed through John Wesley. It passed through Luther. It moved, and then finally to Azusa Street in 1906 in the West, in America. Praise the Lord. And that is where the ministry of perfection, you know, also rose up. That is how the coming of the Lord shall be. And he says, for where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Why does he speak it like that? The carcass is the kill.
An eagle does not eat dead food. It is always fresh food.
What he's saying is that wherever the current revelation is, there the elect will gather to feed on it. And so the light moves. Each time it moves, it's shining, people will gather around it. It will move people, we gather around it. It will move people, we gather around it. I say, not dead food. That's why you will see, we don't see us running after all these funny, funny things going on around.
Hallelujah.
We are eagles.
That's right.
We eat fresh kills. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I hope we are catching something.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then he finished that. Hallelujah. We have finished the first question. When shall these things be? The destruction of Jerusalem. The sign of thy coming. The sign of thy coming now. We have finished answering that.
Yes, sir.
Now the sign of the end of the world. And see what he spoke in verse 29.
Matthew chapter 24 verse 29.
Yes.
He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days.
Now, what tribulation is he talking about?
Immediately, because my emphasis today is to make clarification that the bride will not go through the tribulation. So, what tribulation? It is not the tribulation spoken of between verse 15 and verse 22. That is not the tribulation he's talking about. That is not the tribulation in verse 9 where he spoke about they will kill you, nations will reject you, kill you for my name's sake. That is not the tribulation. And that is not the tribulation in verse 9 also of Revelation chapter 7. That is not the tribulation, the great tribulation there. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, something will happen. The sun will be darkened.
Yes, sir.
And the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a prophet, trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That is when he will be coming together with us to rule the earth. But he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, which tribulation is he talking about? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Remember, Daniel Amen. Chapter 9. Let's go back there. Okay, this is where we get a little bit complicated. But if we listen carefully, and by the help of the Holy Spirit here now, we will understand it. If I understand it, you too, you will understand it. Okay, now Daniel chapter 9. I want you to note something, all of us, with your school of theology, listen very well. Now, let me read Daniel chapter 9. I'll read verse 1 and verse 2. Listen very well. I want to emphasize something here, especially the entire message believers and the theologians. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And he's talking about the first desolation that was made by Nebuchadnezzar when he came and packed all of them to captivity according to the prophecy that Jeremiah gave. I think that's in Jeremiah 25. And because they disobeyed God, they will not, for the Sabbath days for the land, you know, up to about 70 Sabbaths, they didn't keep it. Say for each Sabbath, you pay for it for 1 year in captivity. And it was fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar came and took them, and including Daniel was among them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among them. And then they were taken in that captivity. They were very young then, but there was something special about them. We know their story. But somehow, all of a sudden, an awareness came upon Daniel. Then he began to study and make calculations and discover that they had already spent 68 years, remaining 2 years. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandment. And he began to confess the sins of the people. Verse 20. And while I was speaking, he was still there praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now comfort to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of that supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, note verse 34. He said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. I repeat, listen carefully. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who are the people? Who are his people? The Jews.
Yes, sir.
And upon thy holy city. What is their holy city?
Jerusalem.
Therefore, this prophecy here is not for the Gentiles, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That is my emphasis. It is for Israel.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is for Israel. And he began to tell them what will happen, the 6 things that will happen, and the final one will be the anointing of the Most Holy. Then he began to give him the mathematics of how it will happen. In verse 25, he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. And 2 weeks. And we have keys. I've taken this before. That this 1 week is 7 years. A prophetic language. The 1 week there. So if he says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. That is a program that will last 70 times 7. Which is what? 490 years. There's a program that will span 490 years concerning the people of Israel and their holy city, Jerusalem. Now, see when the program will begin. The program will begin from the time that the commandment will be given forth to go and rebuild Jerusalem. He said that when that commandment will be given, from that date till the time that the Messiah, the priest, Christ, when Christ will appear, shall be 7 weeks and 80 days and 2 weeks. Making how many weeks? 69 weeks. Correct? 7 weeks, plus 62 is 69 weeks. That is 483 years. Correct? The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Hallelujah. And it happened. And accordingly, they went back. It took 46 years. There I say 49. That first 49 was the building of the temple. And then 62 weeks added until the whole city, everything was built again before Christ came. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then he now says, and after 62 weeks, that is, the Messiah shall be cut off. 62 weeks after the first 49 weeks, the next 42 weeks, count again, Christ will be cut off. And when was he cut off? In AD 33. Calculate it. This prophecy came to pass exactly. But he said, but not for himself. And the next, something will happen again. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, as I've explained. It happened in AD 70. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And the whole place was scattered from AD 70. The whole place, nobody existed there again. They were all taken in captivity, in slavery, scattered them in the whole of Europe. Praise the Lord. And that went on until 1948, when they came back to fulfill another prophecy in Isaiah chapter 66. Praise the Lord. Now, see where I am going. And he, the priest that shall come, that is the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Take note, take note. Listen very well. 1 week here is 7 years. Why is it 7 years? Because for the first 69 weeks, 483 years out of the 490 years, he gave a program that will happen up to the time that the Messiah will be cut off. After that, the priests, the people of the priest that shall come, will come and destroy the city. Then after that, that priest, the Antichrist, will come and enter a covenant for the remaining 1 week to complete the 70 weeks that is allotted to them. And he said, in the middle of the week, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That means by the time that he will be having that covenant, mm-hmm. the temple is built again, correct?
That's right.
And the normal Jewish worship is taking place there. Then, but in the middle, that means 3.5 years later. Am I correct?
Yes, right.
3.5 years later, what will happen? He will break that covenant.
That's right.
And over spreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, this aspect, the first 3.5 years of that covenant that he, okay, before I come to that, now, oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, in making this clear, he said 62 weeks, he was cut off. Christ was cut off.
Okay.
Who killed him? The Jews.
Okay.
Who killed him? The Jews killed him.
Right.
They rejected him.
Rejected.
And this is exactly what Christ was speaking in Luke chapter 14. Verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, listen to that parable. A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, evening time, to say to them that we are bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in that the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Take note. Take note again. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly unto the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in either, see the qualification, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. People that are not supposed to be in a party. People that are not supposed to be when a king is having feast. Who is a poor man to come there? Who are the blind people to come? Who are those who are deformed to come there, maimed to come there? He's talking about the Gentiles. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and edges and command and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which we are bidding shall taste of my supper. And which supper is he referring to? Which supper is he referring to? Matthew 26. I said I will use Bible to answer everything. That's why I'm taking my time. In Matthew 26, the last supper that he took, and from verse 26, remember that statement that he made? And as they were eating the last supper, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. Verse 29 is my emphasis. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So you now see why he made that statement in verse 24 of Luke chapter 14. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidding shall taste of my supper. He's talking about that revival that will take place at the rapture.
Amen.
He's telling you they will not be in the rapture. That songwriter captured it. When we've been there 10,000
years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
He says, there is a song
that the angels cannot sing.
When we get to heaven, they cannot sing it.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
Matthew 26. That is what we saw. It's that great supper. That's what he was talking about. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 22, from verse 1, he spoke about it. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. Again, he sent forth another servant, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies in AD 70 and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Not cities, city, one city, Jerusalem, in AD 70. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And those bad and good are the Gentiles. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So go into the highways. Go everywhere. Preach the gospel to the whole world. The gospel that was meant for only Israel. Amen. Now became a gospel for the whole world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a type of Esther. Book of Esther. In the book of Esther, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we know the story. Vashti refused the bidding of the king, and she was rejected. And then Esther had to be sought for to replace Vashti. Esther is a type of the Gentiles. John is the story of Joseph. He was rejected. It's the story of Jesus. He was rejected by his brethren, but he was accepted by the Gentiles. And they received him and made him a king over them. Praise the Lord. And therefore, he got himself a wife. Amen. He got himself a wife among the Gentiles, an Egyptian wife. And that is a type of the Gentile bride that he was rejected. And when he came to Gentiles, we received him and made him our Lord. And we are worshiping him today. And for that, he picked a bride for himself. Because they rejected him, the 490 years program had to stop at 483 years. So between the 483 years and the last 7 years, which is the last week, that period is the period that they rejected him, so he had to come look for his wife among the Gentiles. But it is not by accident. It's still a program of God, because if we read other scriptures in John chapter 10, and there are others, you know, other scriptures there that lets us know that it is not by accident. John chapter 10 and verse 16, and if you are writing it down, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, and Isaiah 56, verse 8. I call the scriptures again. Let's read it. John chapter 10, verse 16. I am not by accident. Hey, my salvation is not by accident.
That's right.
If it is by accident, then my name will not be in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
John chapter 10, verse 16.
Yes, what does it say?
It says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Uh-huh. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one sheep, shepherd.
And I am among that sheep. He's talking about the Gentile sheep. Because there's a prophecy for Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 6.
He said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness.
Uh-huh.
And we hold thine hand, uh-huh, and we keep thee, uh-huh, and give thee for a covenant of the people,
uh-huh,
for a light of the Gentiles.
For a light of the Gentiles. And that is exactly what was fulfilled in Acts chapter 13. From verse 44, actually.
From verse 44, Acts chapter 13, verse 44. He said, and the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming.
Let me read it for emphasis. Verse 46. Okay. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But see, you put it from you, you rejected it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so has the Lord commanded us. Where did he command? Saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to know your scriptures. Hallelujah. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, they are the only ones that believe, and I am among them. Oh, there are people almost everywhere
whose hearts are all aflame. With the Father fell on Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is for
as if you know you are one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am not saved by accident. Oh, they rejected him. That's why he came to look for me. No, it's an agenda. That's why when you quote William Branham, be very careful. Make sure you understand the spirit with which he's speaking, even though you go off. When he said that the woman was not in the original plan of God, that the woman is a byproduct
of man. She's not a byproduct of lie.
Hallelujah. We all used to say that before. No, because we're just repeating what he's saying without understanding what he's saying. Originally, God has proposed that there will be replenishment. The purpose of creating Adam is to be fruitful and replenish and repopulate the earth. So how can he repopulate when there's no woman? So I am not saved by accident. From the beginning, before the foundation of the world, my name is in the book of life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That revelation gets me excited. If I did not belong to him, he cannot redeem me. I have to belong to him before he can redeem me. If you are not related to somebody, you cannot redeem the person. So you have to understand that. All of you that teach some of this, be very, very careful. Praise the Lord. He said, all that sheep I have, Isaiah 56, verse 8.
He said, the Lord God which gathered the outcast of Israel said.
What is he saying?
Yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. And all ye beasts of the field come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. See, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand.
Oh, glory be to
they
God.
All look to their own way.
It's all right. Praise the Lord. And all that sheep. And where the sheep he was referring to. Make it look, he said, I didn't come before the lordship of the house of Israel. They make it look as if we are dogs, so salvation is not for us. The mystery of redemption. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, he called it a mystery that was hidden from the foundation of the world. And it is the salvation of the Gentiles. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It is this same period between the 69th week and the 70th week. The 69th week and the 70th week that Christ is there gathering a people for himself that he called his bride from the first church age until now, and it will end in the rapture. And he called it in Romans chapter 11 verse 25. He said, but blindness in part.
Romans chapter 11 verse 25.
Yes.
For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in thy own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming.
Until when?
The fullness of the Gentiles be coming.
Until when?
The fullness of the Gentiles be coming.
When the fullness of the Gentiles come in, it comes in the last elect that comes in. And then the rapture takes place. Until then what will happen? The next verse.
Say, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer.
Okay.
And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins.
So, why?
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake.
Oh my, read it again.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes.
Concerning the gospel,
but touching,
he blinded them. All this fight, all this one is for our sake, so that he will come and bring us. See the agenda?
But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake.
As touching the election, they are what?
beloved for
they
the Father's sake.
Beloved, don't think that he has put them away. He never forgets his covenant. The reason, verse 29.
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
The gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. He, God, cannot save me today and throw me out tomorrow. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That you see me suffering not because he's dealing with me. It's not because he's sending me to hell. Those that he's going to send to hell, they are enjoying now in their iniquity. They are enjoying now. They are enjoying themselves now. Enjoying themselves. Oh, praise the Lord. Anytime I hear a big man has died anywhere in the world, including the one recently in Nigeria, the first thing that comes to my mind is, oh, where is he going now? And in my condolences to them, my close friends who died, but I know they are not Christians, I'm too revelated to begin to make such statements that everybody makes. May his soul rest in peace. May his gentle soul rest in perfect peace. How can you reject Jesus Christ and rest in peace? Which peace? Praise the Lord. So anytime I see they put R.I.P., rest in peace, they even pray for them. Pray for the somebody is dead already, you are praying for them. Because you don't know your Bible. Because you don't know, it's lack of revelation. No, so it's lack of revelation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So how do I, like the one I wrote yesterday, I say, oh, may the Lord comfort his family and his loved ones as he goes to face his judgment before God. That's what I always tell them. There is no prayer that will change it. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that is what? So anybody that here dies, except I know you are in Christ, and I saw the token applied. Hey, I'm talking language now of the bride. I'm talking the language of the bride. When I see the token applied, hallelujah, then I can say, rest in the bosom of the Lord. You are not only resting in peace, you are resting in the bosom of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my loving brother. When they was on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow?
Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, clap for me.
He's coming back again. Church, I will soon round up. But I pray that you will catch this picture. If I don't go this far before we land, you will be confused along the way. I don't want you to be confused. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Take time. This is being recorded. Get this tape and listen to it. There are other messages where the divine agenda, get it and listen to it. The study of the book of Revelation, get it and listen to it. Another sermon, another teaching. The study of the book of Daniel, get it and listen to it. A review again of the doctrine of the seven thunders we preached recently. Get it and listen to it. Praise the Lord. And so, the rapture rounds up, blessed be the name of the Lord, with the Gentiles coming in. Then, when the Gentile goes, praise the Lord, he has taken us and placed us there. Then, like Joseph, with his wife. Where was his wife? His wife was in the palace. while he was revealing himself to the Jews, his brethren. But watch it. Now, this last 7 years in the 490 years agenda, 483 already spent but suspended for these 2,000 years because Hosea chapter 6 verse 2 told us it will last for 2 days, 2,000 years. And for this past 2,000 years is the period of the what you call the Gentile dispensation. It is the church ages where he's picking his bride. You conclude it with the rapture. Then the last week, the 70th week, now starts with Daniel chapter 9. In that agenda that was given to Daniel, hallelujah, verse 27. And that Antichrist, that is the prince that shall come. The Antichrist, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. The covenant is supposed to last 7 years. And that is the last 7 years of the 490 years. The last 7 years, called the 1 week. But listen, and in the middle of that week, that middle of that week is how many years?
Three and a half years.
He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Oh, he will break the agreement. And for the overspread of abomination, see it, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This, after, in the middle of the week, he breaks it. The description of the overspreading of abomination, he shall make desolate. He's talking about the great tribulation, the difficult period that the Antichrist will come. That is the period of the fulfillment of the mark of the beast, where except you have his mark or the number of his name, the mark, you will neither buy nor sell. If you follow this, all this thing going on in the social, this thing Bill Gates wants to put a chip inside us using vaccine. If they come to me for vaccine, any vaccine they come for my health, I will take it. Amen. If you don't take it, you die for nothing. You die like chicken flu. Die. If for health. Who told you that there are vaccines we have taken? We have smallpox vaccine in us. My Pekin, from the day she was born, how many vaccines? How many vaccines then they take? They call it inoculation. There is six. Past six itself. Uh-huh. So after the Spanish flu, were they not giving vaccines? Okay. Polio, are they not giving vaccine to stop it? So what are you saying? If they come today, even if it's Bill Gates himself that is holding the syringe, provided I'm assured that it is a vaccine, I will take it. It has nothing to do with me and the Antichrist according to the divine agenda.
That's right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. When people know nothing about the gospel, they'll be confusing the people, creating unnecessary fear and panic. And the Antichrist is the one staging all that, so that when he will really appear, people will not know. But quickly, I want you to note that this tribulation, you can see, is for the Jews. It's not for the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. In Revelation chapter 11, I know some of you will be surprised now that I said, if Bill Gates come with it, I will take it. That's what Revelation does.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. You people are always talking different from the others because of the revelation. Bride of Jesus Christ, listen to me now. Amen. He said that only those who will not take the mark of the beast will be saved. And the only those who will not take the mark of the beast, according to Revelation chapter 13, they are because you must take a mark. You must have the mark of Christ. If you don't have the mark of Christ, automatically you have the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is a mark of deceit. Praise the Lord. It's on the head. It's what you believe. Praise the Lord. Listen very well. There is a spiritual mark and a physical mark. Hallelujah. If you already take the mark of Christ, the mark of Christ is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Amen.
What that scripture is saying, only those who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that will not take that mark. You will not resist that mark by saying physically, say, I will not take it. I'll take it. And then because you will not take it, therefore you will not buy and sell. Therefore, you're ready to die. And then you die. That is not it. That is not it. Everyone that does not receive the Holy Ghost will take it. And all those who receive the Holy Ghost, they will go in the rapture. And say they will go in the rapture, they will not take the mark of the beast. That is what that scripture is saying. Not that we shall be here physically and say, run or hide, they are coming, don't take it. There is nothing, praise God. Ah, Father, I thank you. Ah, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for revelation. Father, I thank you for revelation. And those of you listening to me now, I prove everything I'm teaching you by the scripture. Don't stop watching those internet confusion. They never have the same voice. One speaks here, it is a 5G that is causing corona. Another one speaks here, 5G cannot cause a corona. Another one says virus is a living thing. Another one says virus is non-living thing. Another one says coronavirus, it is a poison. Another is why you have to touch it. It's not airborne, so it cannot fly by air. So which one are we to believe now? Ah, that is why Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. From those two prophets. Hey, okay, let's go a little bit deeper. Let's go deeper now. Issachar people, praise the Lord. Enter message people, are accusing me that I am not teaching what William Branham is teaching, because you yourself, you didn't even understand William Branham. We have the first seal, Revelation chapter 6. We have the second seal in Revelation chapter 6, and we have the third seal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You all teach
that the rapture takes place
in the fourth seal. I don't know where you got that from, but I say the rapture takes place in the third seal.
Amen.
And the symbol of our faith in this age is not the flying eagle. It is the beast, the third beast, that has a face like a man.
Sorry.
And that the symbol of our faith is not the flying eagle. I will put flying eagle everywhere, even Brother Assembly logo, even on my cloth. Hey, Father, have mercy on me. It's not. The fourth seal that we say is our own seal. It's not our own. It is for the Jews.
Amen.
The third seal is the revival that he said he should not touch, the oil or the wine.
That's right.
It started with Luther, and it ends with the perfecting ministry of William Branham.
Amen.
And the rapture takes place. Then the gospel goes to Israel at the beginning of the last 7 years that is allotted according to Daniel chapter 9, Revelation.
Amen.
It starts with a covenant with the Antichrist. And that covenant, Isaiah, oh glory be to God.
Amen.
Oh blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah 28 tells us it is a covenant of death.
Oh, yeah.
Can we open it?
Yes.
This is what he told them. When they will reject truth, they will reject him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 14 and verse 15. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule these people. Because the politician that will drag them into it. It's the politician that will drag them to have that covenant with the Antichrist. That rule these people which is in Jerusalem. Then verse 15 says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with what?
Yes.
Are you here? Are you catching? Did you catch what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You have made a covenant with who?
Death.
Death. And what?
Hell.
With hell are we at agreement. Then he says, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, you say it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now go to the fourth seal now. Isaiah prophesied that they have made a covenant with death.
That's right.
And with hell. Are we at agreement? Now go to the fourth seal. Verse 7, Revelation chapter 6. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. What is the fourth beast? Flying eagle.
That's right.
It's the flying eagle that said, come and see.
Yes, sir.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Pale is the color of deceit. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And his name that sat on him was what?
Death.
And what?
Hell.
Followed with him.
Yes.
Are you catching it now?
Yes, sir.
It's referring to the covenant they entered.
That's right.
And what was given? Tribulation. Follow. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword,
right,
and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Talking about the tribulation that follows.
That's right.
After that covenant. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Revelation chapter 11. As soon as they enter that covenant that's supposed to last for 1 week. Listen now. Verse 3. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That is 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. 1,260 days divided into months of 30 days in a month is exactly 3.5 years. Out of the 7 years, 3.5 years, these prophets will be prophesying because the Antichrist is already entered into that agreement. And what are they prophesying? They are prophesying that that man there is a devil. He's the Antichrist. He will bear it. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. These are the two olive trees. The anointing you see in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 3 and verse 14. Zechariah chapter 4.
That's right.
Okay. It says, it's verse 5. See now, how do we know who they are? What type of anointing are they using? And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These two servants of God, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And have power over water to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. The one that has power, praise the Lord, that it rain not on the earth. Who is that person?
Elijah.
Elijah is the one that has that anointing. Hallelujah. And who is the one that turned water to blood?
Moses.
Therefore, which two prophets, we shall call them Moses and Elijah. The anointing of Moses and Elijah. Now listen. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, that Antichrist that is there, that ascended out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies through the satellite television. John saw it. That there will be a means that the whole world will see them. Three days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. Praise the Lord. And if you read further, it went on, and after that their bodies resurrect, and then they are taken up. Now it is after that that he now turns. The next 3.5 years is what is described in Daniel chapter 12. Verse 1.
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people.
Uh-huh.
And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book.
Now, that is the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah chapter 30. I think that's verse 7 or so.
Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7. It says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble.
They call it the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is referring to Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble. Now, how long will this tribulation period last? Go back to that Daniel chapter 12 again. Read verse 5, 6, and 7.
Daniel chapter 12, verse 5. He said, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, and the one on his side, on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Uh-huh. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river.
How long?
When he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time.
It will be for a time. A time is 1 year, according to the Bible.
Times.
That times, that is 2 years. 2 plus 1, how many?
3.
And half. And a half a time there is 3.5 years. That is how long the time of Jacob's trouble will be. That is how long the tribulation period will be. And it is that last 3.5 years of that 7 years of that was left for them. And that is also where you see in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5 and verse 6. You will see that is that same period described there.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 5 and verse 6.
Yes.
It says, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron.
That man child is the Lord Jesus Christ.
And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness.
That woman is Israel. She fled. She ran away to the wilderness.
Where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
That is 3.5 years period of that persecution. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the period that the Antichrist rule is, the anger and all that tribulation is on the Jews. I say it's on the Jews, not Gentiles. It's on the Jews. The story of that great tribulation is for the Jews. And chapter 12 again, that same chapter 12, verse 13. And that is where we see that the symbol of the faith, the revival of Israel, is the flying eagle.
That's right.
Because it is through the prophets that they knew how to escape. And it is spelled out here, verse 13.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And that woman is Israel. The man child is Christ.
And to the woman, we are given 2 wings of a great eagle.
That's right.
Moses and Elijah. That we saw. That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. so that you understand that the tribulation period is 3.5 years. So you can now go back to Matthew 24 and verse 29. So that you will now understand that verse.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 29.
Yes.
He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days.
Wait,
shall...
That is the tribulation that is referring to. The tribulation of the Jews, of the Antichrist. That is the tribulation. See that that tribulation takes place after the rapture has taken place. So you can see that we, the bride, will not be in the tribulation. First and foremost, the tribulation
is essentially for the Jews. I hope I've made myself clear.
Yes, sir. Well,
you believe me? Let me hear that happen. If you have any question, you may ask your question now.